Samson Agonistes, Part 1, The Argument. Samson, made captive, blind, and now in the prison at Gaza, there to labor as in a common workhouse, on a festival day in the general cessation from labor, comes forth into the open air to a place nigh, somewhat retired, there to sit a while and bemoan his condition, where he happens at length to be visited by certain friends and equals of his tribe, which make the chorus, who seek to comfort him what they can. Then by his old father Manoah, who endeavors the like, and withal tells him his purpose to procure his liberty by ransom. Lastly, that this feast was proclaimed by the Philistines as a day of thanksgiving for their deliverance from the hands of Samson, which yet more troubles him. Manoah then departs to prosecute his endeavor with the Philistine lords for Samson's redemption.
A little onward lend thy guiding hand to these dark steps, a little further on. For yonder bank hath choice of sun or shade. There I am wont to sit when any chance relieves me from my task of servile toil. Daily in the common prison else enjoined me, where I, a prisoner chained, scarce freely draw the air, imprisoned also, close and damp, unwholesome draught. But here I feel amends. The breath of heaven, fresh blowing, pure and sweet, with day spring born. Here, leave me to respire. This day, a solemn feast the people hold to Dagon, their sea idol, and forbid laborious works. Unwillingly, this rest their superstition yields me. Hence, with leave retiring from the popular noise, I seek this unfrequented place to find some ease. Ease to the body, some, none to the mind, from restless thoughts that, like a deadly swarm of hornets armed, no sooner found alone, but rush upon me, thronging, and present times past. What once I was, and what am now. Oh, wherefore was my birth from heaven foretold twice by an angel, who at last, in sight of both my parents, all in flames ascended from off the altar, where an offering burned, as in a fiery column charioting his godlike presence, and from some great act of benefit revealed to Abraham's race? Why was my breeding ordered and prescribed as a person separate to God, designed for great exploits, if I must die betrayed, captived, and both my eyes put out, made of my enemies the scorn and gaze, to grind in brazen fetters under task with this heaven-gifted strength? Oh, glorious strength, put to the labor of a beast debased lower than bondslave. Promise was that I should Israel from Philistine yoke deliver. Ask for this deliverer now, and find him eyeless in Gaza, at the mill with slaves, himself in bonds, under Philistine yoke. Yet stay. Let me not rashly call in doubt divine prediction. What if all foretold had been fulfilled but through mine own default? Whom have I to complain of but myself? Who, this high gift of strength committed to me, in what part lodged, how easily bereft me under the seal of silence, could not keep but weakly to a woman, must reveal it. Oh, come with importunity and tears. Oh, impotence of mind, in body strong. But what is strength without a double share of wisdom? Vast, unwieldy, burdensome, proudly secure, yet liable to fall by weakest subtleties, not made to rule, but to subserve, where wisdom bears command. God, when he gave me strength, to show withal how slight the gift was, hung it in my hair. But peace. I must not quarrel with the will of highest dispensation, which in herein haply had ends above my reach to know. Suffices, that to me, strength is my bane and proves the source of all my miseries, so many and so huge that each part would ask a life to well. But chief of all, loss of sight. Of thee I most complain. Blind among enemies, worse than chains, dungeon, or beggary, or decrepit age. Light, the prime work of God, to me is extinct. And all her various objects of delight annulled, which might in part my grief have eased, inferior to the vilest now become of man or worm. The vilest here excel me. They creep, yet see. I, dark in light, exposed to daily fraud, contempt, abuse, and wrong, within doors or without, still as a fool, in power of others, never in my own. Scarce half I seem to live, dead more than half. Dark, dark, dark. Amid the blaze of noon, irrevocably dark, total eclipse, without all hope of day. First created beam, and thou, great word, let there be light, and light was over all. Why am I thus bereaved, thy prime decree? The sun to me is dark, and silent as the moon when she deserts the night, hid in her vacant interlunar cave. Since light, so necessary as to life, and almost life itself, if it be true that light is in the soul, she all in every part, why was the sight to such a tender ball as the eye confined? So obvious, so easy to be quenched, and not as feeling through all parts diffused, that she might look at will through every pore. Then had I not been thus exiled from light, as in the land of darkness, yet in light, to live a life half dead, a living death, and buried. But yet more miserable, myself, my sepulchre, a moving grave, buried, yet not exempt by privilege of death and burial from worst of other evils, pains, and wrongs, but made hereby obnoxious more to all the miseries of life. Life in captivity among inhuman foes! With joint pace I hear the tread of many feet steering this way. Perhaps my enemies, who come to stare at my affliction, and perhaps to insult, their daily practice to afflict me more.
This is he. Softly a while, let us not break in upon him. Change beyond report, thought, or belief. See how he lies at random, carelessly diffused, with languished head unpropped, as one past hope, abandoned, and by himself given over, in slavish habits ill-fitted, weeds o'erworn and soiled? Or do my eyes misrepresent? Can this be he? That heroic, that renowned, irresistible Samson, whom unarmed no strength of man or fiercest wild beast could withstand, who tore the lion as the lion tears the kid, ran on embattled armies clad in iron and weaponless himself, made arms ridiculous, useless, the forgery of brazen shield and spear, the hammered cuirass, Calibian-tempered steel, and frock of mail adamantian proof. But safe as he who stood aloof, when insupportably his foot advanced, in scorn of their proud arms and warlike tools, spurned them to death by troops. The bold Escalonite fled from his lion ramp. Old warriors turned their plated backs under his heel, or groveling soiled their crested helmets in the dust. Then, with what trivial weapon came to hand? The jaw of a dead ass, his sword of bone. 1,000 foreskins fell the flower of Palestine in Ramath Lehi, famous to this day. Then by main force, pulled up, and on his shoulders bore the gates of Aza, post and massy bar, up to the hill by Hebron, seat of giants old. No journey of a Sabbath day, and loaded so, like whom the Gentiles feign to bear up heaven. Which shall I first bewail? Thy bondage, or lost sight? Prison within prison, inseparably dark? Thou art become, O worst imprisonment, the dungeon of thyself. Thy soul, which men enjoying sight oft without cause complain, imprisoned now indeed in real darkness of the body dwells, shut up from outward light to incorporate with gloomy night. For inward light, alas, puts forth no visual beam. O mirror of our fickle state, since man on earth unparalleled, the rarer thy example stands, by how much from the top of wondrous glory, strongest of mortal men, to lowest pitch of abject fortune thou art fallen. For him I reckon not in high estate, whom long descent of birth or the sphere of fortune raises, but thee, whose strength, while virtue was her mate, might have subdued the earth, universally crowned with highest praises.
I hear the sound of words. Their sense, the air, dissolves unjointed air. It reached my ear.
He speaks. Let us draw nigh. Matchless in might, the glory late of Israel, now the grief, we come, thy friends and neighbors not unknown, from Eshtaol and Zora's fruitful vale, to visit or bewail thee. Or if better, counsel or consolation we may bring, salve to thy source. Apt words have power to swage the tumors of a troubled mind, and are as balm to festered wounds.
Your coming, friends, revives me. For I learn now of my own experience, not by talk, how counterfeit a coin there are who friends bear in their superscription. Of the most I would be understood. In prosperous days they swarm, but in adverse withdraw their head, not to be found though sought. Ye see, O friends, how many evils have enclosed me round. Yet that which was the worst now least afflicts me, blindness. For had I sight, confused with shame, how could I once look up or heave the head who, like a foolish pilot, have shipwrecked my vessel trusted to me from above, gloriously rigged? And for a word, a tear, fool, have divulged the secret gift of God to a deceitful woman. Tell me, friends, am I not sung and proverb for a fool in every street? Do they not say how well are come upon him his deserts? Yet why? Immeasurable strength they might behold in me, of wisdom nothing more than mean. This with the other should at least have paired. These two proportioned ill drove me transverse.
Tacts not divine disposal. Wisest men have erred, and by bad women been deceived, and shall again pretend they ne'er so wise. Deject not then so overmuch thyself, who hast of sorrow thy full load besides. Yet, truth to say, I oft have heard men wonder why thou shouldst wed Philistian women rather than of thine own tribe fairer, or as fair, at least of thine own nation, and as noble.
The first I saw at Timnah, and she pleased me, not my parents, that I sought to wed the daughter of an infidel. They knew not that what I motioned was of God. I knew from intimate impulse, and therefore urged the marriage on, that by occasion hence I might begin Israel's deliverance, the work to which I was divinely called. She, proving false, the next I took to wife, oh, that I never had, fond wish too late, was in the Vale of Sorek, Dalilah, that specious monster, my accomplished snare. I thought it lawful from my former act and the same end, still watching to oppress Israel's oppressors. Of what now I suffer, she was not the prime cause, but I myself, who vanquished with a peal of words, oh, weakness, gave up my fort of silence to a woman.
In seeking just occasion to provoke the Philistine, thy country's enemy, thou never wast remiss, I bear thee witness. Yet Israel still serves with all his sons.
That fault I take not on me.
but transfer on Israel's governors and heads of tribes, who, seeing those great acts which God had done singly by me against their conquerors, acknowledge not or not at all considered deliverance offered. I, on the other side, use no ambition to commend my deeds. The deeds themselves, though mute, spoke loud the doer. But they persisted deaf and would not seem to count them things worth notice. Till at length their lords, the Philistines, with gathered powers, entered Judea, seeking me, who then, safe to the rock of Etham, was retired, not flying, but forecasting in what place to set upon them, what vantage best. Meanwhile, the men of Judah, to prevent the harass of their land, beset me round. I willingly, on some conditions, came into their hands, and they as gladly yield me to the uncircumcised a welcome prey, bound with two cords, but cords to me were threads touched with flame. On their whole host I flew, unarmed, and with a trivial weapon, felled their choicest youth. They only lived who fled. Had Judah that day joined, or one whole tribe, they had by this possessed the towers of Gath, and lorded over them whom now they serve. But what more oft in nations grown corrupt and by their vices brought to servitude than to love bondage more than liberty? Bondage with ease than strenuous liberty. And to despise or envy or suspect whom God hath of his special favor raised as their deliverer. If he ought begin, how frequent to desert him, and at last to heap ingratitude on worthiest deeds.
Thy words to my remembrance bring how Succoth and the fort of Penuel, their great deliverer, contemned the matchless Gideon in pursuit of Midian and her vanquished kings. And how ingrateful Ephraim had dealt with Jephthah, who by argument not worse than by his shield and spear defended Israel from the Ammonite, had not his prowess quelled their pride in that sore battle when so many died without reprieve, adjudged to death for want of well-pronouncing shibboleth.
Of such examples, add me to the roll. Me easily indeed, mine may neglect. But God's proposed deliverance, not so.
Just are the ways of God, and justifiable to men, unless there be who think not God at all. If any be, they walk obscure. For of such doctrine never was their school but the heart of the fool, and no man therein doctor but himself. Yet more there be who doubt his ways not just as to his own edict, found contradicting, then give the reins to wandering thought, regardless of his glory's diminution, till by their own perplexities involved, they ravel more, still less resolved, but never find self-satisfying solution. As if they would confine the interminable and tie him to his own prescript, who made our laws to bind us, not himself, and hath full right to exempt whom so it pleases him by choice from national obstruction without taint of sin or legal debt. For with his own laws he can best dispense. He would not else, who never wanted means, nor in respect of the enemy just cause to set his people free, have prompted this heroic Nazarite against his vow of strictest purity to seek in marriage that fallacious bride, unclean, unchaste. Down reason, then, at least vain reasonings down, though reason here aver that moral verdict quits her of unclean. Unchaste was subsequent, her stain, not his. But see, here comes thy reverend sire, with careful step, locks white as down, old Manoa, advise forthwith how thou oughtst to receive him.
By me, another inward grief awaked with mention of that name renews the assault.
Brethren, and men of Dan, for such ye seem, though in this uncouth place, if old respect, as I suppose, towards your once gloried friend, my son, now captive, hither hath informed your younger feet, while mine, cast back with age, came lagging after, say, if he be here.
As signal now in low dejected state, as erst in highest, behold him where he lies.
Oh, miserable change! Is this the man that invincible Samson, far renowned, the dread of Israel's foes, who with a strength equivalent to angels walked their streets, none offering fight, who, single combatant, dueled their armies ranked in proud array, himself an army, now unequal matched to save himself against a coward armed at one spear's length. Oh, ever failing trust in mortal strength. And oh, what not in man deceivable and vain? Nay, what good thing prayed for but often proves our woe, our bane? I prayed for children and thought barrenness in wedlock a reproach. I gained a son, and such a son as all men hailed me happy, who would be now a father in my stead. Oh, wherefore did God grant me my request, and as a blessing with such pomp adorned? Why are his gifts desirable to tempt our earnest prayers, then, given with solemn hand as graces, draw a scorpion's tail behind? For this did the angel twice descend. For this ordained thy nurture holy, as of a plant select and sacred, glorious for a while, the miracle of men. Then, in an hour, ensnared, assaulted, overcome, led, bound, thy foes' derision, captive, poor, and blind, into a dungeon thrust to work with slaves? Alas, methinks, whom God hath chosen once to worthiest deeds, if he through frailty err. He should not so o'erwhelm. And as a thrall, subject him to so foul indignities, be it but for honor's sake of former deeds.
Appoint not heavenly disposition, Father. Nothing of all these evils hath befallen me but justly. I myself have brought them on, sole author I, sole cause. If aught seem vile, as vile hath been my folly, who have profaned the mystery of God, given me under pledge of vow, and have betrayed it to a woman, or a Canaanite, my faithless enemy. This well I knew, nor was at all surprised, but warned by oft experience. Did not she of Timnah first betray me, and reveal the secret wrested from me in her height of nuptial love professed, carrying it straight to them who had corrupted her, my spies and rivals? In this other was there found more faith, who also in her prime of love, spousal embraces, vitiated with gold, though offered only by the scent, conceived her spurious firstborn treason against me. Thrice she essayed with flattering prayers and sighs and amorous reproaches to win from me my capital secret, in what part my strength lay stored, in what part summed, that she might know. Thrice I deluded her, and turned to sport her importunity, each time perceiving how openly and with what impudence she purposed to betray me, and, which was worse than undissembled hate, with what contempt she sought to make me traitor to myself. Yet, the fourth time, when mustering all her wiles, with blandished parleys, feminine assaults, tongue batteries, she surceased not day nor night to storm me, overwatched and wearied out. At times, when men seek most repose and rest, I yielded and unlocked her all my heart, who with a grain of manhood well resolved might easily have shook off all her snares. But foul effeminacy held me yoked her bondslave. Oh, indignity! Oh, blot to honor and religion! Servile mind! Rewarded well with servile punishment. The base decree to which I now am fallen, these rags, this grinding, is not yet so base as was my former servitude, ignoble, unmanly, ignominious, infamous, true slavery, and that blindness worse than this. That saw not how degenerately I served.
I cannot praise thy marriage choices, son. Rather, approved them not. But thou didst plead divine impulsion, prompting how thou mightst find some occasion to infest our foes. I state not that. This I am sure our foes found soon occasion thereby to make thee their captive and their triumph. Thou the sooner temptation foundst, or over potent charms to violate the sacred trust of silence deposited within thee, which to have kept tacit was in thy power. True. and thou bear'st enough, and more, the burden of that fault. Bitterly hast thou paid, and still art paying that rigid score. A worse thing yet remains. This day, the Philistines, a popular feast here celebrate in Gaza, and proclaim great pomp and sacrifice and praises loud to Dagon as their god, who hath delivered thee, Samson, bound and blind into their hands, them out of thine, who slewst them many a slain. So Dagon shall be magnified, and God, besides whom is no God, compared with idols, disglorified, blasphemed, and had in scorn by the idolatrous rout amidst their wife, which to have come to pass by means of thee, Samson. Of all thy sufferings, think the heaviest. Of all reproach, the most with shame that ever could have befallen thee and thy father's house.
Father, I do acknowledge and confess that I this honor, I this pomp, have brought to Dagon, and advanced his praises high among the heathen round. To God have brought dishonor, obloquy, and oped the mouths of idolists and atheists, have brought scandal to Israel, diffidence of God, and doubt to feeble hearts propense enough before to waver or fall off and join with idols, which is my chief affliction, shame, and sorrow, the anguish of my soul that suffers not mine eye to harbor sleep or thoughts to rest. This only hope relieves me, that the strife with me hath end. All the contest is now twixt God and Dagon. Dagon hath presumed me overthrown to enter lists with God, his deity comparing and preferring before the God of Abraham. He, be sure, will not connive or linger thus provoked, but will arise and his great name assert. Dagon must stoop, and shall ere long receive such a discomfort as shall quite despoil him of all these boasted trophies won on me, and with confusion blank his worshippers.
With cause this hope relieves thee, and these words I, as a prophecy, receive. For God, nothing more certain, will not long defer to vindicate the glory of his name against all competition, nor will long endure it, doubtful whether God be Lord or Dagon. But for thee, what shall be done? Thou must not in the meanwhile, here forgot, lie in this miserable, loathsome plight neglected. I already have made way to some Philistine lords with whom to treat about thy ransom. Well, they may by this have satisfied their utmost of revenge by pains and slaveries worse than death inflicted on thee, who now no more canst do them harm.
Spare that proposal, Father. Spare the trouble of that solicitation. Let me hear, as I deserve,
pay on my punishment and expiate, if possible, my crime. Shameful garrulity. To have revealed secrets of men, the secrets of a friend. How heinous had the fact been, how deserving contempt and scorn of all, to be excluded all friendship and avoided as a blab, the mark of fool set on his front. But I, God's counsel, have not kept. His holy secret presumptuously have published, impiously, weakly at least, and shamefully, a sin that Gentiles in their parables condemn to their abyss and horrid pains confined.
Be penitent, and for thy fault contrite, but act not in thy own affliction, son. Repent the sin. But if the punishment thou canst avoid, self-preservation bids, or the execution leave to high disposal, and let another hand, not thine, exact thy penal forfeit from thyself, perhaps God will relent and quit thee all his debt, whoever more approves and more accepts, best pleased with humble and filial submission, him who imploring mercy sues for life, than who self-rigorous chooses death as due, which argues overjust and self-displeased for self-offense more than for God offended. Reject not then what offered means, who knows but God hath set before us to return thee home to thy country and his sacred house, where thou mayst bring thy offerings to avert his further ire, with prayers and vows renewed.
His pardon I implore, but as for life, to what end should I seek it? When in strength all mortals I excelled, and great in hopes with youthful courage and magnanimous thoughts of birth from heaven foretold, and high exploits, full of divine instinct after some proof of acts indeed heroic, far beyond the sons of Anak, famous now and blazed, fearless of danger, like a petty god, I walked about, admired of all, and dreaded on hostile ground, none daring my affront. Then, swoln with pride, into the snare I fell of fair, fallacious looked venereal trains, softened with pleasure and voluptuous life. At length, to lay my head and hallowed pledge of all my strength in the lascivious lap of a deceitful concubine, who shore me like a tame wether all my precious fleece, then turned me out ridiculous, despoiled, shamed, and disarmed among my enemies.
Desire of wine and all delicious drinks, which many a famous warrior overturns, thou couldst repress, nor did the dancing ruby sparkling outpoured the flavor or the smell or taste that cheers the hearts of gods and men allure thee from the cool crystalline stream.
Wherever fountain or fresh current flowed against the eastern ray, translucent, pure, with touch ethereal of heaven's fiery rod, I drank from the clear milky juice, allaying thirst and refreshed. Nor envied them the grape, whose heads that turbulent liquor fills with fumes.
No madness! to think use of strongest wines and strongest drinks our chief support of health, when God, with these forbidden, made choice to rear his mighty champion, strong above compare, whose drink was only from the liquid brook.
But what availed this temperance, not complete against another object more enticing? What boots it at one gate to make defense, and at another to let in the foe effeminately vanquished? By which means, now blind, disheartened, shamed, dishonored, quelled, to what can I be useful? Wherein serve my nation and the work from heaven imposed, but to sit idle on the household hearth, a burdenous drone, to visitants a gaze or pitied object. These redundant locks, robustious, to no purpose clustering down, vain monument of strength, till length of years and sedentary numbness craze my limbs to a contemptible old age obscure. Here, rather, let me drudge and earn my bread till vermin or the draught of servile food consume me, and oft invocated death hasten the welcome end of all my pains.
Wilt thou then serve the Philistines with that gift which was expressly given thee to annoy them? Better at home lie bedrid, not only idle, inglorious, unemployed, with age outworn. But God, who caused a fountain at thy prayer from the dry ground to spring, thy thirst to allay after the brunt of battle, can as easy cause light again within thy eyes to spring, wherewith to serve him better than thou hast. And I persuade me so. Why else this strength miraculous yet remaining in those locks? His might continues in thee, not for naught, nor shall his wondrous gifts be frustrate thus.
All otherwise to me my thoughts portend, that these dark orbs no more shall treat with light, nor the other light of life continue long, but yield to double darkness now at hand. So much I feel my genial spirits droop, my hopes all flat. Nature within me seems in all her functions weary of herself. My race of glory run, and race of shame, and I shall shortly be with them that rest.
Believe not these suggestions, which proceed from anguish of the mind and humors black that mingle with thy fancy. I, however, must not omit a father's timely care to prosecute the means of thy deliverance by ransom or how else. Meanwhile, be calm, and healing words from these thy friends admit.
Oh, that torment should not be confined to the body's wounds and sores, with maladies innumerable in heart, head, breast, and reins, but must secret passage find to the inmost mind. There exercise all his fierce accidents, and on her purest spirits prey, as on entrails, joints, and limbs, with answerable pains, but more intense, though void of corporal strength and sense.
My griefs not only pain me as a lingering disease, but finding no redress, ferment and rage, nor less than wounds, immedicable rankle and fester and gangrene, a black mortification. Thoughts, my tormentors, armed with deadly stings, mangle my apprehensive, tenderest parts, exasperate, exulcerate, and raise dire inflammation which no cooling herb or medicinal liquor can assuage, nor breath of vernal air from snowy Alp. Sleep hath forsook and given me o'er to death's benumbing opium as my only cure. Thence, faintings, swoonings of despair, and sense of heaven's desertion. I was his nursling once, and choice delight, his, destined from the womb, promised by heavenly message, twice descending, under his special eye, abstemious I grew up and thrived amain. He led me on to mightiest deeds above the nerve of mortal arm against the uncircumcised, our enemies. But now hath cast me off as never known, and to those cruel enemies whom I by his appointment had provoked, left me all helpless with irreparable loss of sight, reserved alive to be repeated the subject of that cruelty or scorn. Nor am I in the list of them that hope. Hopeless are all my evils, all remediless. This one prayer yet remains, might I be heard, no long petition. Speedy death to close of all my miseries and the balm.
Many are the sayings of the wise in ancient and in modern books enrolled, extolling patience as the truest fortitude, and to the bearing well of all calamities, all chances incident to man's frail life. Consolatories writ with studied argument and much persuasion sought lenient of grief and anxious thought, but with the afflicted, in his pangs, their sound little prevails, or rather seems a tune harsh and of dissonant mood from his complaint, unless he feel within some source of consolation from above, secret refreshings that repair his strength and fainting spirits uphold. God of our fathers, what is man, that thou towards him, with hands so various, or might I say contrarious, temperest thy providence through his short course, not evenly, as thou rul'st the angelic orders and inferior creatures mute, irrational, and brute? Nor do I name of men the common rout, that wandering loose about grow up and perish as the summer fly, heads without name no more remembered, but such as thou hast solemnly elected with gifts and graces eminently adorned to some great work, thy glory and people's safety, which in part they effect, yet toward these, thus dignified, thou oft, amidst their height of noon, changest thy countenance and thy hand, with no regard of highest favors passed from thee on them, or them on thee, of service. Not only dost degrade them, or remit to life obscured, which were a fair dismission, but throw'st them lower than thou didst exalt them high. Unseemly falls in human eye, too grievous for the trespass or omission, oft leaves them to the hostile sword of heathen and profane, their carcasses to dogs and fowls a prey, or else captived, or to the unjust tribunals under change of times and condemnation of the ungrateful multitude. If these they scape, perhaps in poverty, with sickness and disease, thou bow'st them down, painful diseases and deformed in crude old age. Though not disordinate, yet causeless suffering, the punishment of dissolute days. In fine, just or unjust, alike see miserable, for oft alike both come to evil end. So deal not with this thy once glorious champion, the image of thy strength and mighty minister. What do I beg? How hast thou dealt already? Behold him in this state calamitous, and turn his labors, for thou canst, to peaceful end. Thank you.